And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Beard. Here on Declare Your Independence, I'm here to stand Cocker and Feet Says Not A from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedom's with an S, FreedomsPhoenix.com. There, got a whole good one right there. There we go. All right, what we're going to do is all the news that we're seeing going on now, it's just, I mean, damn, you know, and it. What do you believe? What do you know? What do you, and there's really no emphasis on fake news other from the people that, you know, make the fake news. They go, yeah, we're going to clean up fake news and we're going to make sure fake news and we're going to go to this thing over here that's operated by the government so that they can say it's government real news because it's government authority or they gave it a sticker. And I'm going, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be, and a lot of it in the liberty community, we just, you know who to trust. You know, what did this guy say about that? If I got a Richard Grove piece or a James Corbett, you know, or, you know, something, we do an in-depth thing on it, or I'm going, what they said, you know, Truth Media, you know, Luke Radowski. I mean, Luke is like, I was standing there. Let me show you the video. Did a video about it, like, see it, here go. So I'm going, this is how we get our news, and we're the, and if you subscribe to freedomsphoenix.com, go to freedomsphoenix.com. You know, now there's a lot of stuff, there's headlines, we put Washington Post up there, USA Today, is that the truth? Hell no. But we just want you to see, and through the lens of all the other stories that are up there from an alternative position, is, you know, through a libertarian lens, is I'm not afraid of it. Bring it on. Give me your BS. Because we need to see who the liars are. But what if you had a button? What if you had a score? What if you had people doing out research? Kind of, how would you do to validate something? And where would you go? In the next hour, we have Bill Ottman from Minds, CEO of Minds.com. That's going to be, you know, is it the next social network? Is it going to replace Facebook? And would it be any more truthful? Is it going to be fake news? How would you know? Where's the button? Well, that's what Trive is going to try and do for us. We got Matt White on Trive, TRIVE.news. Trive.news. Truth Hive, I think is what that kind of stands for. And we've talked to Matt before. And, you know, he's become interested in Bitcoin decentralization and blockchain technology back in 13. In his 20s, you know, Matt founded and owned, operated an Alaska-based adventure tour company that served a global market for 18 years. But then he got involved in this. All right. I want to hear every little thing, Matt. Tell me where you guys, give us the background, and then tell me where we are since we've had you on before. I want to see where this is going.
Hey, Ernie. First, I want to say hi to you and everybody in the audience and say, thanks for everything you do. You know, that's the first and foremost thing. You being out there is an inspiration to a lot of people, and you certainly give your all to help us all network together and create some great things.
My pleasure.
All right, so let's just do a quick overview for people who may not have heard of Trive. What Trive is a decentralized, user-driven veracity engine. Okay, Trive uses wisdom of the crowds, incentives, and game theory to research and verify information on the internet. It's a protocol and an application. The application is basically a browser plugin and eventually a mobile app as well, where consumers and publishers, people, you capture any unique internet address, URL, at a specific time point, and then drop it into the system where the Tribe engine takes over and the curators, researchers, verifiers, and witnesses work within the protocol, kind of in a gamified, judgeless courtroom where they work against each other to stake reputation, money, and effort to find the facts. So every time that you state something is factual, you're staking your utility tokens and your reputation on what your research is correct. And of course, things can be researched again and again over time, and all of that process is captured on the blockchain to be referenced in the future. And what it does is return a score to the person who submitted this and to anyone who has the browser plugin or the mobile app on their device that says, based on the points of fact within this piece of information that was submitted, a score is created of the aggregate truthfulness of the entire article. So if, say, something comes in as completely untrue or partially untrue, the person with the mobile app or the browser plugin can actually adjust it so that it fades from their feed if they don't want to have their time monetized by stuff that they believe Tribe is a good protocol and it's judged it in this way. Now, this is completely user-driven and will be owned by the users. This, we're looking for the most decentralized point because we're as concerned about pirate communications and not having a point of attack as you are. So I hope that kind of clarifies what we're doing. And yeah.
Well, the goal is the what? I mean, that's a mechanism by which you're doing it. And I'm just wondering, you know, the end result is what? You know, how am I go, all right, Tribe this fact, Tribe this article, Tribe, you know, and you go, yay, it gets a score of so many tomatoes or something. I mean, how does it manifest itself for the reader?
No, essentially you'd be on the internet. You would see some piece of information. You would capture that information in a screenshot that's time stamped. You'd put the URL into the Tribe application. You put some bounty with it. And you say, look, I want to know if this is true or false. I could do the research, but I believe the Tribe mechanism will do the research for me. And I can come back and look at that research. And I can also get a quick score. That information goes into the system, gets processed. And the curator of the system actually looks at each point of fact within the piece of information that's submitted and submits that down to the researchers who work against the verifiers to come up with, you know, what is the points of fact in here and can they be provable by research? And if there's a disagreement, there's a pool of witnesses that works not unlike a courtroom. And all of these people stake their reputation and money that they're trying to make to do this work every time they submit something to the system.
Okay. So then you get, you know, the end result is what? A score?
The end result is a score for that URL or that piece of that URL as tagged. And that can be used to help create better use of your time if you're a consumer that has this plugin on your browser or app on your phone where you can judge that, hey, I don't even want to see this stuff come into my feed or my search results. Or I want to see the score and see it, but it kind of fades to the background. The other thing is for publishers, you know, if you think of a lot of alternative bloggers that have to do a lot of time doing fact checking, you know, if you could have a ready room of fact checkers who are anonymous by their cryptographic wallets and set up where they can't collude because we have detection devices built in where if the same wallets try to work on the same jobs as verifiers or researchers or witnesses, they get disqualified. So you have a situation where everyone is cryptographically anonymous and their reputation score and their money is tied to the quality of their work. And the only way you can advance from being a witness to a verifier to a researcher all the way to being a curator would be to do excellent quality work. So your perfect example of a top quality curator would be a person like James Corbett or Richard Grove, who could function in that level because they have very analytical minds. They can pull out points of fact and submit things.
Okay, now these are the guys that I go to for the facts. They'd certainly appreciate some facts. We'll talk about the kind of research that these guys do. Is that exposed? I mean, are they, you know, this is how I came to this conclusion of giving it that score and the vote up or down to something. Is that exactly how? On the edge of our seat, waiting for you to tell us when we come back in just a little bit.
From the first letter of Dr. Idris Barber, I've healed many landlubbers, but could have healed countless more if they were willing to break the law to preserve themselves. The Crown required that I obey leeching privateers who didn't share my oath to do no harm. I was forbidden from discussing the treatments I knew patients needed. The Crown claims to protect landlubbers from bankrupting medical expenses, but only seduces them into begging for relief, while privateers monopolize the management of chronic illness. This royal alliance has constructed a medical hegemony that denies science, discredits alternative remedies, and mandates unwanted treatments, while callously ignoring the victims dying on waiting lists. They have produced a society increasingly addicted, impoverished, diseased, and suicidal. My conscientious objections and medical ambitions required not only seeing this cage, but leaving it. That's why I raised my black banner. Among pirates, the Crown's tantrums are irrelevant. You own your body without qualification. Open ocean medicine enables healers and customers to build a relationship of mutual consent. Prices decrease, quality increases, and physicians become as accessible as barbers. Customers determine their own medical care, whether that's experimental treatments, prohibited plants, controversial procedures, bootleg pharmaceuticals, or even the right to die. Any system of command and control is rejected. In time, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, genetic engineering, and cybernetic prosthetics could take the human condition beyond our imagination. Medical augmentation could eliminate aging, enhance intelligence, and erase our fundamental physical limitations. With the Crown in our wake and the individual at the helm, we are free to pursue an unfettered life. Need decentralized solutions to centralized problems? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
If you're looking.
Yeah, I'm, wanted. How would this actually be used? I mean, it's a, we've talked about the mechanism and stuff before, and that's interesting. I want to, we'll get on a little bit more, but, this is like valuable for not just the people that participate, but the readers. You'll have a, I need a truthiness score. I need to, this has been, it gets the tribe seal of approval. Okay. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean it went 51.2% or something of being,
Are we off live?
No, it's still recorded, but
Okay. Well, just quickly, I figured that, we hadn't been on with you guys since September. So first I wanted to kind of get through how the thing works, which I think we can do in the next couple of minutes. And then I have a whole list of stuff we can talk about, too. So,
all right. No, if you got it ready to go, but for me, I'm going, boom. I write an article. I put it up on Freedom's Phoenix. I say this controversial truth is the truth about the truth. The pyramids are 20,000 years old. So saith Ernie. Okay.
Okay. So there's a couple ways you could do it as a publisher. And of course, how the protocol will actually,
we'll get to that, but I guarantee that's going to come up, okay? So you present it any way you want, and we'll come back and you can do what you want. But my thing is, as a reader of Freedom's Phoenix, when I go up there and it's linked to some kind of tribe endorsement or kind of a score, how do I know? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, let's look at you as two kinds of people. A, you're a publisher if you're posting.
No, let's save it for the live show. But that's my question. I'm going, all right, I pulled up the article. Is there a tribe logo on there, a button, a score? How does it make a use case for me as a reader?
Can you see the screen share, okay? See if I can, this may or may not help us.
All right, let me pull it up. Yeah, I see your screen.
Maybe I can get rid of this.
All right, we're coming back. And we're back. What we're doing with Matt is we're going over, he wants to screen share something. My whole thing is, and the question that I have is that as an end user, as a reader on Freedom's Phoenix, as a, you put up a file, a video of this, that, and I say this about that. I've been seeing a lot of things and kind of look, something that really just, blew Davi away and kind of, I'm going, man, look at this. This is interesting. And what it was is I go, okay, ancient civilizations. They were more, you know, we got wiped off the face of the planet by a big giant tidal wave of the flood legends of the whatever, from a melting of the ice cap of the asteroid that hit Greenland and flooded, you know, what happened, North America, blah, 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 blah. And, oh, by the way, the Great Pyramids are tens of thousands of years old. And you go, really? Okay. Well, who did them and why? Then you go, one thing that just kind of blew me away, you go into the Great Pyramids, not a single hieroglyphic. They were not tombs. They were, of course, they'll say, you know, they created energy, they did this, they did that, whatever. But the point is that is not what they taught us in school. You know, the Great Pyramids, they even called it the King's Chamber and the Queen's Chamber and all these chambers, and there's no soot, you know, from lighting. There's no hieroglyphics that are done anywhere. There's no, and that's all in the Valley of the Kings. So I'm going, what else are they BSing me about? And who's keeping these secrets? Who's, you know, I want to see the textbooks on this kind of stuff. So I write, you know, if I were to do an article or there's a video up there, this kind of stuff, and I go, I know, my teacher in fifth grade told me this about that. So I'm going, all right, how would tribe work? If I'm reading this and I got a tribe thing on there, well, that means a bunch of tribe people are going to have to go do some research and look at, you know, some stuff. And they go, whoa, I did not know that. Or they go, I call BS on it. And a lot of people, they might be protecting there's going to be bad actors that are going to come in and say, no, we got to protect the, you know, we don't want you to know the secret about the Illuminati of the anti-gravity alien reptile people of who gives a crap, you know? So I'm just, this is, how is tribe going to manifest itself to me as a consumer of news? And I get to see tribe is going to add validity or not, or some, how does it interface with me, the consumer of the news?
Well, first, Ernie, I think we all have to be realistic in the fact that this technology is always going to be a war. And we must assume the people that print the money are going to have the best tools first. So if you assume that, you have to come down to, is the process honest and decentralized and open source? If it is, and you're working to find these things, I think solutions can be out there to improve things to the event horizon as far as the quality of facts that people choose to view on the internet. And that's what Tribe does as having a plugin or a mobile app, is it allows you, if you believe in the process, you've looked into what we do, you've looked at the code, you go, man, this thing can save me a lot of time. I'm going to trust Tribe to this extent to score things for me. Now, things that are very important to me, things I'm very involved in, I may want to go in and look at the actual research and the back and forth between the researchers, verifiers, and witnesses, and look at every piece of data they use to come up with that score.
No, I understand that. That's not my question. You know, we'll get into the details. My question is, I have a story on Freedom's Phoenix. You know, I just, you know, pull it up here. I go, here's Freedom's Phoenix. I'm looking at, you know, the front page of whatever, okay? There it is. I go into this story. I click into it. And am I seeing a tribe icon anywhere?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you're gonna,
and that
you're
icon gonna see means it. What? Does it have a score on it? Does it give me, it's, you know, just, 75 Rotten Tomatoes? I mean, what?
It's just a score and potentially a link back into the raw research data.
Okay, the score is 1 to 100, you know, as a percentage?
Yeah, well, depending on how you want to do it, 0 to 100, negative 100 to 100, 1 to 10, it's going to be representative anyway.
Okay, no, but I just need to know, and, you know, we'll get into the details. Design. I just want to know, as me using it, I'm going to go, hey, man, it got tribed. Oh, what's its tribe score? You know, how many Rotten Tomatoes did it get? How many thumbs up? 4 out of 5 stars, something. You know, I need to know.
Right now, the score is negative 100 to positive 100.
All right, that's cool. That works.
That's based on there can be different numbers of points of fact within a particular article, depending on how big the article is that's submitted. So say there's 10 points of fact in that thing, and, you know, 5 or 6 of them are absolutely true, and 5 or 6 of them are absolutely false. You know, you're probably going to have a score of 0. You're not going to be negative 100. You're not going to be positive 100. You know, now whether we do that of 0 to 100 or how the scoring will end up in beta testing, A/B testing as to what people respond to the best.
Well, it'd be interesting. Also, you click on the logo and you can go look at how the results and the research and how it was compiled, because that would be something that, you know, I would go into on just about anything. If I'm going to have that, you know, it's like you do Snopes and you go in and they go, well, we say this about that and so on. And then you find out later that they're funded by the man. I mean, of course, anybody that's going to be successful like this, here comes the man. So I'm going with Tribe. We are the man. I mean, that's the point of it.
Well, the thing is we're the only idea that can scale, and that is by letting the users do it. And the users are the people of the world. Okay. So this can scale as big as people adopt it. Everywhere else you're going to find, it's what I like to call a Wizard of Oz effect. At some point, there is a designed point of failure. There is a point where they can manipulate the result to some extent where they're behind the curtain. That is true across the board, and we've spent a lot of time talking to these people. You know, we see some of these. You know, NewsGuard is just the most comical and Orwellian. I don't even know how you can come up with a word that describes how absolutely surreal it is to have them put that into a Microsoft browser and touted as, oh my goodness, we're going to give you the truth, when really all it does, it doesn't rank any points of fact within a story. It just tells you these are the people we approve of and these are the people we don't. It doesn't have anything to do with the facts in the story, not one bit. So the fact that people would buy that, I mean, the state of Hawaii has installed this in every public library already. I mean, it's just crazy. Look at the first draft. You know, we had a long talk with a very prominent investor in the fact-checking space. He's pretty much invested in everything, and I won't say who he is, but he runs a very, very popular website that does classifieds all over the world. And, you know, he's invested in this thing called First Draft, which is at the Kennedy School at Harvard. And I looked at it, and it's very slick and very well-funded, and Google's involved in it as well. And, you know, one of their big things is they have an ethics department. And I just said to him, I said, if your fact-checking engine needs an ethics department, it needs a redesign. And there's $20, $30 million already spent on this. There's a cute little gal from Goldman Sachs who raised $3 million for this company called True Story, so she could drink, literally quoted saying, so she could drink coffee and think about an idea to come up with. And we're struggling to raise money. But the difference is that people can't control us.
People can't control what?
Can't control us. Can't control Tribe.
You know, this is, and when we come back, we can get more details about, you know, how I'll just ask some pointed questions of, you know, how it's derived that something is or is not true. And what that something is, an article in general, a particular fact in it, how it's submitted, who asked the question. You know, maybe I want my article tribed.
Is spreading the message of liberty, cryptocurrency, and peace.
That's what we'll do when we come back, is go, okay, who decides which facts get done? I mean, who cares? I go, I want this one done, or this article done, or this claim of Trump or something.
Let me set you up first, Ernie. Like, say you're in a unique position where you might want to look at this as a consumer and also as a publisher. So say that you had a story you wanted to publish, but you actually wanted to do fact checking, but Donna can't do that and everything else she does. So you could set this up on a URL on the backside of your site somewhere, not where you want to publish it, a private URL. You could submit it to Tribe. Let Tribe process it. You'd put in some tokens. Anybody can submit that puts in the bounty to get the work done, right?
Yeah.
So you could get the thing fact-checked before you published it, adjust the story the way you like it, and then publish it. And then a consumer could come in and see it on your webpage and go, I don't know if Ernie's true about these pyramid things. Then as the consumer, he may fact-check your final product. So it's basically a fact-checking department for you or Ben Swan. Or think if we could enlist the Corbettiers where they could actually make money when they're, you know, they're basically, I think, a welcome back Cotter. You know, they're in the room with their hands up. Ooh, ooh, I found something for you, James, and they're emailing it to him. What if there was a place that could all get done in a formatted situation where it's anonymous and inclusion proof and James could use it? Heck, James could do that and be a curator. Curators are going to make money at this thing. Researchers and verifiers are probably going to make a living doing this. That's what the numbers look like.
Yeah, no, I'm hip, and it's timely. You know, there's so much reason that this some function or cause is certainly there, and some function is going to fill that need. And I want the audience to understand how. Let me see. I can give you opportunity. You can just give a presentation and do this, or I can just ask you a bunch of questions and you answer them specifically as I walk it through from a user, as a recipient of news, and a content producer.
Well, I wanted to set you up so you understood that kind of publisher consumer up there. They're kind of one person, but it can be used in two different ways.
I tell you what, let's try this. In the last segment, I'll let you just you can stay in commercial all you want. This next one,
I like your idea.
I'm gonna ask specific questions, and you give quick answers, and then you expand on it, you know. But I want to have, you know, a use case. There's definitely a need. You know, need done. Boom, got the need. So I'm going to.
Once we explain how it's working, and you're comfortable with that the audience kind of is hip to that, then we can go into everything we've done since September.
Yeah. I want to talk.
Tie it into the chains, and like for Chris from yesterday, and the fact that everybody's trying to figure out how to be decentralized. Like, we haven't quite got pirate communications. Well, Tribe, we need to follow that. We need to be where somebody's most committed to. They can't take us down, because that's our big thing.
Well, this is one thing I've been negotiating with the guys down at Anarchapoco. They have like a Anarchaforco, you know, on the last day, Sunday, they're going back to the Copacabana, and they have a separate thing where a lot of the anarchists are hanging. And, you know, you would think Anarchapoco would be anarchist, but, you know, it's kind of, you know, I need to carve off the real anarchists, because I want to talk to the people about, you know, the IPFS stuff and what we're doing with pirates and who are the people that... We're going to be announcing the design contest there, and kind of our new direction with all of whatever.
Well,
but that
Ernie,
was
I'm getting to these guys too. I mean, I had a 3-day conversation with Gabe Drew and Roger Ver. You know, we've been talking to Rob.
Okay, here we're coming back. Here we go. You can tell us about it later. Here we go.
Work on the air in your area. Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Rhodes. It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Time. And Tribe, truth discovered. I mean, I'm, you know, the truth hive. I'm digging it. And the reason is because it's so freaking timely. Fake news. If I had to give Trump props for anything, it was to popularize that phrase. I'm like, woohoo, man, it's fake news. Oh, CNN stood up to ask about fake news. You know, I love it. Now, the thing is that what is unfake news, and how do we do this? Now, I talked to Matt, and this is what I'm going to do. He's going to allow me just to have, you know, swarm him with a bunch of questions, and then he can give, because I really want to get into the news. You know, since we've talked last, there's a lot of things been going on behind the scenes. But this is the one thing that I want to go. I'm going to ask, you know, real quick questions, and hopefully I get a quick answer. I got a bunch of questions. One, and we'll walk it back. We'll reverse engineer this. As I'm looking at a story, a video, anything, the content producer, you know, either, I guess they would have to put up a Tribe score and have stuff submitted to them and done before they do it, as they do it, or it's probably after an article or some big claim was made that somebody would take and go, especially if it's a popular thing. It's like Jordan Peterson saying this about that, and, you know, men should clean their room first or something like whatever. So people go, no, I think messy rooms means a creative mind, and, you know, whatever the hell they want to go on about. They would submit a fact or an article for Tribe authentication or ranking or something like that. How is that submitted? It's a URL. It's a fact in the URL. It's a story. I mean, how is that submitted? Real quick.
So, Ernie, do you have that screenshot shared? I can't see yours. What the viewer sees.
Okay, let me. I got a bunch of screenshots for you. Which one do you want?
The infographic that shows a consumer and publisher at the top of the Tribe engine.
Okay, let's see if we got that.
I shared it with you.
Yeah, there it is. Okay. Well, I can show it bigger here so it's easier to see. All right, got it.
Great. So let's go quick. Ernie, you're a unique guy because you're both a curious consumer in this situation and a publisher. So say you were writing a story or somebody in your organization is
No, it's even more than that. As an aggregator, as a publisher, I'm in a little bit different position because I'll put up USA Today's crap up there just to show it's crap, okay?
Well,
but it would be nice to have a story I put up, and how long would it take for me to give, all right, now here's some, I even have a category on Freedom's Phoenix, Trived Articles. Boom, here's Trived Articles on something.
You don't even need a category because it's just going to show the score if it's been done anyway, right next to the link if they have the plugin or the mobile app. They're going to see it anyway.
All right.
But essentially, what I was getting at is, if you're writing the article and it's yet to be published, there's no URL for it. You're writing it on a scrap of paper. You type it in. You can put it in your back office part of your website, and you could submit it to have it checked before you publish it because you'd like the stuff you publish to be truthful, and you'd like Trive to do it first. Now, if you're an aggregator and you're picking up a story from someone else you just want to republish on Freedom's Phoenix, it already has a URL. It already is a story. You've probably read it or had somebody read it. You could have them submit it from the original site as a URL. Have Trive it, come back and say, okay, I'm going to publish this.
Okay, I see that. First step, Trive application. I go, here, go Trive this thing. Boom. Make it go work. Yeah.
Then a curator gets it. Let's say the best curator in the world, James Corbett, gets the thing. He reads the article. He takes every point of fact out of it, just like he does in his show notes. He lists out the point of facts, and he says, okay, researchers, all the thousands of researchers in the system we hope we have, or millions.
Corbettiers that help him do that are now going to get paid for doing it on Trive.
Absolutely. I want you to bid on this work. What do you think you can do it for? And you're staking your reputation and the chips on the table to do it, okay? Then verifiers in a 10-to-1 fashion come in and try to take away that guy's work and say, you didn't do it right. You didn't find this, that, and the other. If there's legitimate problems between the research data, you have the witness factor. And witnesses make a little bit. They're not going to make a living in this thing, but verifiers and researchers are probably going to make a decent living. Curators can actually make profit. So there's a lot of ways this can get used by people who already are journalist in the news, just really smart people like a Richard Grove or a James Corbett.
Now, does the Trive engine have its own crypto, or are you using something? How are they compensated?
Trive utility token will be used, and the Trive utility tokens will be listed, and you can trade them into real currency that you can spend, you know, BCH or Dash or whatever.
Got it. So now I'm going through, I submit it. I got a curator, somebody that takes that and organizes it in such a way to put it out to, I guess, bid. You know, a researcher says, I can do that. Let me do that. I want to do that. You know,
once you submit it, you don't do anything else. A curator picks it up, one of the many curators. He does the points of fact thing. He starts the system working with the rest. Okay. When the work is done, you would get an email because you're the one that submitted it. Okay. And we're also thinking about pirate communications on the email thing and how that would all work on the way out and in, as people could submit anonymously, but they still want to get results when their score comes up without having to go click the URL 20 times to see when it gets done. So once that's finished, you would have your score. You'd be able to go back in and look at the research if it was important to you. If not, you could just say, okay, it's scored. It wasn't that important. I've got other things to do. I'm going to move on. And the idea is everybody can do that. So you can start to save time. Now people have to click on things and get monetized. If the stuff gets monetized before they figure out that it's not very good quality stuff. So if we could change that to where they could trust the score because they trust the open source decentralized system, that now they can start to rely on Trive as a tool to save them time in their life. That's for the consumer. That's a person who's paying $1 a month for the app.
Okay, I want to insert this. This is a good point. I went to a Google presentation for journalists, And it was, I don't know, a couple of months ago here in Phoenix at the main library downtown. And a friend of mine is a journalist. He goes, hey, man, you might want to go to this thing. So it was like 2-3 hours. This guy was, you know, a grant from Google just to show journalists how they can use Google and write their stories and embed maps and overlapping of before and after pic, blah, 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 blah. And that you can look to see if graphics are able to be put up and they're not copyrighted and this list of that and the truthness of what, according to Google. And I go, oh, hell no. So right there, I'm going, what makes you think I give a crap what Google says is the truth or not? I'm going, you know, this, and they would go, well, this was that, and this, you know, graphic was really from here. There's a lot of useful things that was there. But for me to use them to determine what was and wasn't fact of me writing a journalistic article, I call BS on that one.
Well, Ernie, we envision there actually being a tool section. And I have to say, with all the money they have, the first draft project at the Kennedy School at Harvard, they have a very good instructional section of their website that explains to people, you know, what is the Wayback Machine? How would I use that?
Right.
You know, how can I, you know, one of the things, tools we really like, especially with video, and it's not fully out yet, but there's a project getting developed in Asia called Prover.io. Now, I don't know if that'll be the final solution we use, but the concept is there that people would put this blockchain-based application on their camera phone or their phone camera, whatever they have. And at the time they take the video, it encrypts a blockchain-based encryption so you can tell if the video is real to fight deep fakes. Now, this only works if the person has it on their phone before they take the video.
Mm.
But it's at least a tool where if we see something come in that, hey, it's on the Prover.io blockchain, this was taken in real time and periscoped, and this is the real deal, that you're going to see technologies like that come out. But in the meantime, we have to deal with old technologies to the best we can.
Yeah, there's a story I'm pulling up here that kind of makes that point. I just saw it today. We're putting it up. AI deepfake of Jennifer Lawrence and Steve Buscemi's face. I mean, live time. She's sitting there talking with this guy actor up there just kind of doing, you know, what's truth? How the hell do you know?
That's only the stuff we know about. What about the stuff at DARPA 10 years ahead of that?
From the second letter of Captain Mark. Any pirate knows that commerce is communication. Markets condense oceans of information into a single price. Innovations in communication are circumventing the scrutiny of the crown. This signals a change in the coin of the realm. The crown uses digital currency to surveil, censor, seize, and destroy wealth at will, so pirate currency must protect us from this weaponized money. We need to move funds further, faster, cheaper, and without third-party observation, basing decisions on an accelerating flow of information. So pirates require nearly instantaneous transactions with no arbitrary limits on volume or artificial influences on fees. Most importantly, a pirate currency must preclude centralization. Otherwise, it will become another link in our chain to the crown. A superior currency will result in the obsolescence of the coin of the realm and the extinction of the crown itself. Trade above the grid. Join us at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
I am showing this video. It is creepy as hell. I am like, are you freaking kidding me? This is, we've been following this for years. I remember Adobe had a thing that you could generate the shadows and everything. All the other, you put a light source somewhere and it automatically generated. It's just BS.
You know, I always say, Ash, Milgram, and Zimbardo are constantly being used against you. So it's like they sell these robots, you know, they put this technology in a fuzzy kitten looking thing and have it follow you around and bark. I mean, I always like to tell people, just change the name, you know, just change the name of what they're telling you to the opposite of what it is.
Well, that's what they do with bills all the time. You know, it's, you know, the Patriot Act. I mean, you know, that kind of crap, you know.
I know.
This is freaky, man. Freaky AI stuff. I got a lot of experiences in dealing, having people on the show talking about this years ago. I need to do another batch because it's, I already knew what was coming, you know, but you can't even believe anything you see. So this is where, you know, I see it and believe it. Well, not necessarily. So, well, here, we'll get your graph back up here. All right. So we got the researcher, you know, a curator kind of does it, a researcher. How does a researcher get it, or is a group of researchers, do they bid on it to do research? How does that step happen?
Are we back on, Ernie?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah, the curator goes through the article, pulls the points of fact, organizes the job, essentially, and then he puts it out to bid. And he's going to make a percentage on the work, too. Okay, he actually makes profit. The other ones are working for a wage to do the work. Researcher at 10 times the rate of a verifier, and you have to earn your way to be a researcher by starting as a verifier and before that a witness. So one of the things I'll tell you kind of offline here is I'm reaching out individually to all these people, and it kind of started with the idea when I talked to Joby Weeks about kind of re-engaging the anti-war left and the anarchist right, because we really got to be careful when we see this with users that we try to not get pigeonholed, because they're going to try to say, oh, you know, you guys are all over here. You know, David was really interested in like, we should just go to the right. We should go to, you know, to Bannon and to Donald Trump Jr. to get funded. And I'm like, if we do that, we're pigeonholed forever and they're going to be able to say something. So taking this initial seed capital and making sure we're positioned is important. But the big thing is I'm talking to, you know, Ben Swan and Michael Krieger and, you know, Robert Gore and Richard Grove and all these guys. And I have a kind of a group of about a dozen so far of guys that have, you know, Ben Swan's got like 50,000 subscribers. I want those guys to be the foundational core during beta of this thing. So the only place, and I'll say it, that I can insert my bias is in the initial seeding.
All right, here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back with Matt. You know, the one thing is that, you know, you have the news, and then just, you know, they'll tell you about a plane crash with a gleam in their eye, but is it true? You know, what is it? They just want to expose the dirty laundry. Get some Roger Stone and Trump out there, and how fast does Tribe work? We're going to find out. I remember this from, God, early 80s or something. The whole point was that, you know, it's just sensational journalism. This has been going on for decades ever. You think it's just happening now with digital news? She can tell you about the plane crash with a gleam in her eye. It's interesting when people die. Give us dirty laundry. Okay, you see, this is my point. You know, that song really makes my point for me, because this is something that my generation growing up in, you know, my early 20s, you know, teenager 20s and so on, late 70s, 80s is like, you know, it's Don Henley. Yeah, we've been waiting for something like Tribe. You know, I you get Snopes out there, and then you find out they get compromised by they, them, those, and it's all. So where I need something that they, if they can, they are. They sure as hell want to. So I'm going, I need some mechanism to discover what is and isn't factual that's based on they can't. So when I submit an application, you know, and say, all right, I want this checked out for whatever reason. Now, the curator takes that. He's going to make some money. Who put up the money? How does it get funded from the beginning?
Are we back?
Yeah.
Okay, and hey, before we start, I want to just say the prescient Don Henley. I was listening to the song in the break there. But you have to understand, here's the struggle. And this is the fundamental struggle. I mean, we've had yellow journalism. We've had fake news since the beginning of somebody telling something to someone else and getting paid for it. So essentially what's happened recently, you had the invention of the printing press. Basically, distribution was able to control news. So you had large financial interests that could control the distribution of news through the printing press. Well, what we've seen most recently is the cost of distribution going to zero. Now they've lost that control. That's the fundamental thing. So they're doing these ham-handed overlays, and they realized that the fact that Google could still do an honest search 10 years ago wasn't going to work. So they had to penetrate, the FANG companies and say, hey, you got to help us with the censorship thing. The trouble is the cat's out of the bag. And everything they do now looks ham-handed. And it's the basic premise of decentralization. You got a few thousand, maybe a few million people that are trying to think about how to mess with 7 billion. There's some smart Chinese kid out there that's going to kill all of it. And that's what we're there to support. When that idea comes forward, we want a platform. We want what you want with pirate communications. We want a place for people to be able to be nurtured and not attacked when they have an idea. Science, technology has basically been taken over in the college systems, where anybody with an idea is either suppressed or bought up before it ever hits the market.
You know, I give you a good example. We had a gentleman on, it's called the Wing Generator. We did a podcast with. It was really cool. He won. He came in second place and got a chunk of money. It was $1.5 million for first place, so he got like a little bit. I don't know how much it was, but it was substantial, a little bit. And he created a wind generator that also created water out of the atmosphere. So we've got water and power in one unit, and he's like, boom, man, we can go be all free kind of stuff. Well, the Water Abundance XPRIZE, they're like, yeah, you did okay. So I had him on the show. We're going over it. My friend Bob, he's a super geek guy on such things, lives off the grid for 15 years, and he's going, yeah, I kind of call BS on this one number, this one law, the kind of thermodynamic of whatever BS it was. And I'm going, okay, that's a tribe thing. So I go, I would like it. And then plus you got all these curators. Some people would love to be, a researcher. Man, I get paid to go around and look at this cool stuff. Yeehaw. And then they start their own channel, all the stuff they know. Well, what happens is when the curator gets that, how does he get paid? Where does that come from?
The bounties for the job. Say if it's a single job, there may not be a whole lot of money. You're going to have the tribe utility tokens will be used to start these jobs. But if it's a popular story that's coming in from, say, many different feeds, but it's essentially the same story, the curator's going to combine all those into a job and compound those bounties. So now there gets to be, the more popular a story is, the more money there is in it to work on it.
Oh, so if it's some big controversial whatever, Trump said this about that, all of a sudden, boom, everybody's submitting it, and they go, I give you, a nickel to do this one times 100,000, all of a sudden you got a bunch of nickels.
Exactly. And the curator pulls that all together, and the curators will compete against each other to take these jobs essentially as contractors, and then they're going to bid them out to the researchers and verifiers, but they got to make sure the job gets done. So they have to pay guys well enough to do the job. It's a free market environment.
Yeah, sounds like anarchy. I like it. All right. So I want to, it'd be very interesting to see how this goes. Now, a researcher does it. He submits, goes to the next level. The verifiers are, who are these guys? They're
guys that want to be researchers.
Okay.
So they're
your research sucks. I do it better, and I verified and proved you're gonna pick me.
And my reputation score goes up among my peers, and all of a sudden I bump you out of your job as a researcher.
Okay, or so I, then verifier, they're the ones that are given the score.
No, the curator is actually going to assign the score when he gets the work back from the others.
Okay, so then the verifiers, as it goes through that process, is there a time limit?
We'll have a timeout, and of course that's all part of the technology, And some jobs, early, the trick with this thing is we need statistically relevant numbers at launch, and that's why I'm gathering up guys with, upwards of, 50, 100,000 subscribers that when we go into beta testing, I need to seed this with a whole bunch of Corbeteers.
Got it. All right. And then it was when they come in and they say verified and this kind of boom, and it reached some point that it gets sent back to the curator. And now this is, you know, if we're talking news, you got to be the quick turnaround here. I mean, you know, if it's a month later, yeah, it's not going to do me any good.
Well, this is
going to be sometimes really, it will. I mean, you know.
Well, one of the reasons that I approached Vernon Smith won the Nobel Prize in economics, and I know Paul Krugman won a Nobel Prize too, but Vernon Smith's the real deal. If you want to look him up, Vernon Lomax Smith, he is the father of experimental economics. So when we start working on the tokenization and how this works and we start doing tweaks, we're planning to work with his team on the study because they're very excited about how the economics will work inside of this, and that'll help us make sure that this is working financially to get the jobs done. All we're looking at is making sure the jobs get done in a timely basis and that the incentives are in the right place. But how we're going to bring people in is we have a billion ERC-20s, and most of those are earmarked for, hey, Ben Swan, here's a bunch of tokens. All we ask that you do is send them out to your subscribers and say, go in and try one thing, and here's $50 worth of tokens. Now you're in the system, and part of our investment money, our initial seed capital, is going to be to pay to get listed on, you know, good exchanges. I mean, hopefully, by, you know, there's atomic swaps and other stuff coming too, but we're going to get listed on exchanges. So when this thing launches and goes live, we won't be doing some ICO with a promise in the future. We will have been through beta testing. We will have a working product, and people will be able to use the tokens and trade them in for other currencies they can spend.
Yeah, no, I'm hip. I want to introduce, you know, James Corbett, you know, resurrected, you know, this word. And, I you know, the economics of it just doesn't really cover it. That's like home economics, you know, home budget of everybody's on the same page of where do I, no, I want to be on my page. I determine what, you know, is of value to me. You know, that's called catalactics. You know, the Cadillac. You know, I got catalactics. Why, at that point, did I pay this for that? I'm going to repopularize that word because I think it's way more descriptive of what we're talking about. What is of value to you? So this is Trive.news is a mechanism by which we can have truthiness scores, you know, and you could use it as a content provider and a consumer and have a ranking or something. Because what am I going to do? Go to the intelligence community's controlled and stuff guys of the media?
No. Good news. The indictments against Ross Ulbricht in the district.
Thanks, Matt. I got to get to my next guest. He's already waiting.
Oh, cool.
What we'll go ahead and do is, you know, just stay in touch, and I'm more than happy, you know, whoever comes on, you know, I forward just, you know, your contact information to them, and they can talk to you or not. You know, I don't mind doing that. You know,
awesome.
You know, Bill Ottman might want, you know, I'll have you send me something for him specific on mines. He might be very interested in something like this.
I've tried to reach Bill because before I came on, we had a...
Well, hold on a second. Here he is. Let me... You know, I think he's there. Give me a second. I got skills. I know how to do it. Maybe. No.
How much time do we have, Ernie?
Yeah, we're done. You know, it's between the shows.
Can I mean, before you need me to get gone.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, see if I can get...
Link
is better. He on Skype?
He was going to do Skype.
Oh, okay. He's on Skype, so I can't cross over.
All right. No worries.
All right, man. I got to get going. Thanks, Matt. We'll talk later.
You tell him I'm trying to reach him. That'd be great. Talk to you later.
Cool.
Thank you, Ernie. Thanks, Donna.
Bye.